The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And Jesus asked, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumor of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my heart and the meditations that I speak bring glory and honor to your name. Amen. Please be seated. Picture the scene. The disciples are in Jerusalem. They're in the temple courts. It's a beautiful, marvelous, holy place. And it's also under construction. A bit like our construction here. King Herod has been expanding the temple courts and making this holy site even more inspiring than ever before. Ancient sources tell us that the Temple Mount was over 500,000 square feet. In one section, the retaining wall was more than 80 feet high. Even today, 2,000 years after the temple was destroyed, one of the stones in the Western Wailing Wall is 40 feet long. Even the temple's ruins are impressive. No wonder that Jesus' disciples were captivated by its beauty and scale. No wonder they found themselves attached to such an awe-inspiring place. "What large stones! What big buildings!" the disciples exclaim. They were filled and amazed with wonder. Jesus isn't nearly as impressed. He says in no uncertain terms that this place is going to be destroyed. "Don't get too attached, for it all will be rubble." Perhaps it took a while for this message of destruction to settle in, because it isn't until the disciples are outside of Jerusalem that four of them go to Jesus and ask, "When is this going to happen?" Jesus responds by talking about false prophets. No timelines, no dates. Just a warning about false prophets. How is the destruction of the temple and false prophets connected? The disciples marvel at the temple's incredible craftsmanship, its beauty, its grandeur, and Jesus says even this holy space is future rubble. And like all human beings, the disciples are impressed with the people who are connected to the temple and those who claim to speak the truth. Jesus is challenging the disciples to consider their attachments both to the temple and especially to other people. It's easy for us to identify and attach to beautiful things. The disciples marvel at the temple's beauty, yet some of them will be eyewitnesses to see its later destruction. It's so easy to identify and attach to a false prophet. The attachment to people is of much greater importance to Jesus. A false prophet might be charismatic or enticing, yet their work in our lives is ultimately destructive. And here's the tension between the false prophets and God's love. God loves us all, and God will never stop loving people and caring about us. Yet Jesus also warns us, beware of who we attach to. Jesus isn't talking about kicking people out of our life. It's Jesus imploring us to be aware of who and what we identify with. and who we attach to. Jesus is saying, be aware of whom we are offering the ability to speak into our lives. Those people aren't bad. They're just, maybe they're bad for us. Some false prophets want to manipulate us so they can get from us what they desire. They don't really care. They look to see what they can take. They delight in our troubles, not our victories. If you've ever been on a diet, you know those people who are eager to sabotage. It's almost as though they delight in watching our willpower crumble. So how should we avoid attaching to these false prophets, these people who don't really care about us? Should we make a list of these troublemakers? And if we make a list, what is our criteria? Are we like Santa Claus with our naughty and nice lists? Making a list of our false prophets based upon how we feel is dangerous. It's an easy, appealing solution, but the results are tainted. The problem with making a list about how we feel about each person is we end up with people who think and act like us, and we exclude everybody else. The result is soul stunting. We create an us versus them worldview, all the while forgetting that God loves and cares for everyone. Instead of making a list of false prophets based upon how we feel, we are invited to do more challenging work. Let's seek out people where the work of God is evident. In our biblical tradition, there is a notion that one's life can be judged by the fruit that that life produces. Our lives are bringing about in ourselves and in other people more delicious, healthy food. Fruit can be like things like joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Can you imagine having your life with people that are so loving, so kind, so righteous? These are not the characteristics of false prophets. These are the characteristics of people worthy to build a community around. And when we find these kind of people, people who are full of peace or joy or love or gentleness, find a way to connect and attach to these people. They are offering their love, their gentleness to you, and you can offer your joy, your care, your kindness to them. And together, how can you all not be changed? And if you are looking for those people with good fruit, people who you can connect to and attach to, and you're having a little trouble, I would encourage you to ask God to direct you. And who knows, maybe some great people are sitting here right next to you. God has blessed us with people that are worth attaching to. So many people are living lives of love, lives of self-control, lives of kindness and joy and all the other fruits. Find them. And then keep connecting and attaching to God, because God is the one who embodies everything good in our world. There is no one kinder or more loving than God. So let us go forth, attaching, connecting to God and to those who emulate our Creator. Amen.